The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Begin reading in verse 1 and read all the way through verse 45. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's return to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish oppression wants to stone you, but you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the day doesn't stumble because they see the light of the world, but whoever walks in the night does not stumble because the light isn't on them." He continued, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I'm going in order to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get well." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was in a deep sleep. But Jesus had spoken about Lazarus's death. Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, so you can believe. Let's go to him." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too, so that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." And Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one coming into the world." After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, "See how much you loved him?" But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up, said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews came with Mary and saw what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Every good storyteller knows the power of foreshadowing. When placed in just the right place, at just the right time, it's a hint as to what is about to come, and it makes the event even more powerful. Generally, the function of foreshadowing is to build anticipation in the minds of the readers about what is going to happen next, adding dramatic tension to the story. Foreshadowing can make extraordinary events appear credible as the events are predicted beforehand, so the readers are mentally prepared for them. Is the gospel reading today John's use of foreshadowing? Is the story of Lazarus' death, his 4 days in the tomb, and then his being restored to life by Jesus foreshadowing of another story? One that's coming up shortly? Is John getting us ready to hear another story in which the grave gives up its dead? If this story is intended to prime our liturgical pump for Easter, let it do that. Are we ready? Is the suspense building? Can you smell the lilies? I smell flowers for sure today. Can you smell the lilies? We must prepare for a day of alleluias. And he is risen. Time is getting short. But what if there is something that may be impeding our preparation? What if anticipation is building, but we remain somehow paralyzed, unable to go where we need to go to get ready with our hallelujahs? This seems to be more of the context of the gospel story of Lazarus. It is alluded to in the passage that time is running out for Jesus. Opposition from the religious establishment was growing. Still, when it came time for his followers to believe, much less move, they found themselves in a lurch. Dancing with Jesus still has a way of leaving us in the same kind of lurch, in a bind, vulnerable, unsure, torn between what we want to do and what we know to be the reality of the circumstances. When called toward expanding our spiritual experience, we are restricted, bound by what we think we already know. We find ourselves in a lurch, as did the followers of Jesus in today's gospel reading. The family featured in today's scripture is familiar to us. Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus lived in the town of Bethany, out from Jerusalem. They were followers of Jesus. More than followers, really. They often served as hosts, offering Jesus and his disciples generous hospitality in their home. They loved Jesus, and they knew Jesus loved them. This was a well-established, mutually caring relationship. Now, Mary and Martha are in a lurch. Their past experience told them that Lazarus was well loved by Jesus. That's why they sent word to Jesus when Lazarus was sick. "The one whom you love is ill." Yet, Jesus did not come through for them. He didn't show up when they needed him, leaving them in a lurch, a Lazarus lurch. They knew Jesus loved them, but he still didn't come, and Lazarus died. What were they to make of that? How in the midst of their grief and loss could they integrate the disparity between who they knew Jesus to be and how he hadn't responded to their need in a way that they knew he could have? The Gospel of John affords us a very candid look at how Mary and Martha deal with the grief of Lazarus' death, now complicated by the uncharacteristic response of Jesus. After his delay, Jesus arrives and Martha goes to meet him. Always the gracious host, Martha seems to offer Jesus the out she thinks that he might need. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." She seems to want Jesus to know she believes in him. She doesn't doubt that he could have done something if he had only been there. She goes a step further. "Even now, I know whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus seems to welcome this conversation and engages Martha further. "Your brother will rise again." Martha might have thought this was just more empty words of condolence, accessing a faith in the future to ease the pain of the present. She decides to follow the lead, trusting in what she thought she knew. "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." The Lord of the dance danced on. "I'm the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." Martha is in a Lazarus lurch. She hears Jesus' promise that those who believe will never die. But she has a brother whose body is starting to decay in a tomb. She hopes in a final resurrection, but her pragmatic personality accepts the fact of nature. Hers is a "I want to believe, but" kind of faith. It's interesting to me that Mary stayed in the house while Martha went to meet Jesus upon his arrival. Mary is a sister who the Gospel of Luke tells us was always prone to sit at Jesus' feet while Martha busied herself with many details of hosting the meal. Her heart was surely inclined to go to Jesus when it was broken. Yet for some reason, she stayed home. She'd always known comfort at the feet of Jesus, but her brother was dead. She was in a Lazarus lurch. So she sat at home rather than going to meet Jesus, until he called for her to come to him, that is. Even when Mary had been in a lurch, knowing that Jesus was calling for her, she was freed to go to him and fall at his feet, right where she had wanted to be the whole time. If Lazarus being raised from the dead is foreshadowing of the coming resurrection of Jesus, I wonder if Mary getting out of the lurch and being freed to go fall at the feet of Jesus was a foreshadowing of the unbinding of Lazarus. Speaking of Lazarus, he's in a real lurch. He's been dead 4 days, bound in a tomb. Jesus is there, but it's too late. Lazarus is dead. "Move the stone," said the Lord of the dance. What did Martha think was going to happen? She wanted to believe Lazarus would be resurrected. She wanted to believe God would do whatever Jesus asked. But she was in a Lazarus lurch. Her brother was dead. By now, he would stink. All true. But the Lord of the dance danced on. "Lazarus, come out," said he. The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. "Unbind him and let him go." Couldn't that also be Christ's Lenten cry for each one of us? Could we too be in a Lazarus lurch, bound by what we think we know, unable to expand our experiences to encounter a fuller power of God that waits to be loosed in our lives, struggling with an "I want to believe, but" kind of faith, hoping for the promise of God, but seeing all too clearly the reality and hopelessness of our particular situation, remembering the comfort of God that we have found at Jesus' feet on other occasions, but not able to go and fall at his feet again because, well, we're in a Lazarus kind of lurch here. Like Lazarus, we are bound hand and foot, paralyzed before the very power and grace of God. Lent is a season of unbinding because beyond the place of the tomb, the grave clothes, and the smell of death, there comes a place of resurrection, of new life, not only for Lazarus, not only for Jesus, but for those we love and for us also. Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life. But we must be loosed from all that hinders us. We must surrender to the Lord who is calling us to come to Him. We must surrender our reluctance to move the stones of hopelessness that we have laid in the doors of promise. We must surrender to the way of Christ wherever He would lead us. At the opening of the gospel passage, the disciples found themselves in a lurch of their own. Jesus had not only decided to go to Judea when Lazarus had died, He invited the disciples to come along. Let's go to Judea again. These were the same disciples to whom Jesus had said, "Come, follow me." They had faithfully done so up to this point, even when it hadn't been easy. But now they were in a real lurch. Following Jesus now would mean entering the ranks of the opposition who wanted to stone him if he returned to Judea. What were they to do? They wanted to follow him, but Thomas, one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too, so we may die with Jesus." Never did knots come untied by grabbing and pulling the loose ends. That only makes the knot tighter. The way to get out of the bind that has us in a lurch is to surrender to the Lord of the dance. He continues to call us from places of hopelessness toward places of resurrection and new life, saying, "Unbind them and let them go." Amen.